Crosby, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast.
Hey, it's Tom Matthews from Return of the Living Dead and Friday the 13th, Part 6, to name a few, and you're listening to the Mean Joe Grizzly Podcast. Enjoy.
Let me introduce myself. I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.
What up, Mean Militia? I'm Mean Joe Grizzly, and when I'm not joining a task force that maintains the stability of the multiverse, I'm over at the Grizzly Cave, watching movies, reading comics, listening to metal, and of course, crushing beers. And on this episode, I'm going to be giving you my review of Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse, the sequel to the award-winning, critically acclaimed Into the Spider-Verse. But before we get started, I want y'all to take a second and follow the show on all social media platforms, as well as joining my Mean Militia on the show's official Facebook group by clicking the links down in the episode description. Also, don't forget to subscribe to the show on whatever platform y'all listen on. By doing this, y'all support the show and help me continue to talk to y'all about all forms of badassery. So with Across the Spider-Verse hype to the max, the question is, does it live up to its 95% rating on Rotten Tomatoes? Does Across the Spider-Verse suffer from the sophomore flop? Let's find out. This is Grizzly Grade Reviews. So with the undisclosed amount of time that has passed from Into the Spider-Verse, we pick up with a much more experienced Miles Morales doing his day-to-day routine of balancing his life of being a student, a son, and his life as Spider-Man. And at the peak of his stress and anxiety, Miles is once again visited by Gwen Stacy from Earth 65. Overjoyed by her return, Miles and Gwen would take off on swinging through the city and catching up along the way. But Gwen wasn't just visiting. She had been sent there on a mission by her new team that she had just joined. A new team led by Miguel O'Hara, the Spider-Man of Earth 928. Miles wanted to join, but Gwen tells him that they already have enough people and there aren't any openings. But after following Gwen without her knowing, Miles would accidentally follow her into the multiverse and become entangled into a grand adventure that involves him in more ways than one and could effectively destroy all reality itself. So, I feel like most of the time in the past when I've gone to the theater to see a Spider-Man film, the experience is always one of my best movie experiences that I've had, and Across the Spider-Verse was no exception. I had an absolute blast from start to finish, and for numerous reasons. So let's get into the many positives. So starting off the obvious, this movie is visually incredible, and honestly, I was worried about the visuals, especially the animation. Into the Spider-Verse was great, and I liked it a lot, but there were a lot of times that the animation looked clunky and laggy, and I don't know if it was something to do with the frame rate or what, but that wasn't an issue for me in Across the Spider-Verse. I don't know what they did to make some sort of adjustment, or they sped up the frames per second slightly, but whatever it was, it's perfect now. And I am a huge critic of 3D animation. As a kid and a teenager, I grew up in the age of hand-drawn animation, and it just feels more like art. And someone's quality of work, it just seems more like, it just seems more visceral, if that makes any sense. Whereas, to me, 3D animation just looks cheap, manufactured, and uninspiring. But this style of computer-generated animation, along with the style that Toei Animation used in Dragon Ball Super Superhero, that style's exceptional. I don't know what they're doing different. I don't know how it's done, because I'm not going to act like I know everything about animation, but it definitely doesn't look cheap, and it doesn't look like overly manufactured or anything. So it doesn't have that same cheapness and that mass-produced look. And honestly, I can't really explain why it's different, but just by looking at it should be enough to anyone that this is made with passion, soul, and care. Next up is the music. The music composed for the film is very, very well done, and it's used perfectly for moments of high tension, emotion, and suspenseful action. But the other music for the soundtrack is also fantastic. I haven't been a fan of the majority of hip-hop or rap beyond the year of 2007. I personally believe that the genre as a whole peaked in the 1990s and has progressively gotten worse with each year, with very few exceptions. So this soundtrack, though, is extremely well done. I don't know who Metro Boomin is. I have no idea. But his style and mixing has similar sounds and atmosphere of that like Kid Cudi. And I love Kid Cudi. And I don't hand out that compliment very lightly. So I honestly hope he gets to produce the soundtrack for Beyond the Spider-Verse. And that's coming from a metalhead, guys. I have a very diverse musical taste. I know all y'all know that, but heavy music and metal in particular are that's my passion. That's my music. But I love hip hop as well. Old school hip hop. And, you know, a little bit of outlaw country and stuff like that from back in the day. But I digress. Next, we're going to talk about the voice acting. Overall, it's phenomenal. Shameik Moore, Jake Johnson, Holly Stanfield, Luna Vez, Brian Tyree Henry, and Marshall Ali all returned to reprise their roles to perfection. And newcomers Oscar Isaac, Issa Rae, David Kaluuya, and Shane Wingman are all welcomed additions to that cast, and they all pull their weight, with Oscar Isaac and David Kaluuya being the standouts in their roles as Miguel O'Hara, aka Spider-Man 2099, and Hobby Brown, aka Spider-Punk. Now, as far as the story goes, I can't help but to compare this to No Way Home and Multiverse of Madness with the bare bones of the story. And in that regard, Across the Spider-Verse, at the very least, rivals them, and at the most, surpasses them. Now, some of the things I will be talking about will have some spoilers, some minor spoilers. So, here's your spoiler alert. 3, 2, 1, and you've been warned. Skip ahead a few minutes if you don't want to hear some minor spoilers. So, like, I like how they took a villain like The Spot and kept him pretty accurate to his goofiness in the comics, but at the same time, elevating him to a threatening level. They really don't reveal that in any of the trailers, but it's a nice touch, and it's a good catalyst for reuniting Gwen and Miles, as well as giving us a reason for them to introduce the Multiversal Task Force. I like how they focused on Gwen for a little bit, giving us her backstory and laying out her struggles of being Spider-Woman, losing her best friend Peter, being accused of his murder, and being hunted down by her own father. the way that all the characters are relatable in some way, shape, or form is also incredible. Even the villain of the spot had some sort of relatability, which is one of the many things that makes Spider-Man so damn good as a character. Sure, these guys aren't crawling on walls and shooting webs out of their arms and stuff, but everyone has been the awkward teenager. Everyone has experienced loss and heartbreak. Everyone has felt overwhelmed with their life, and everyone has felt a degree of responsibility. These are just a few reasons why anyone can relate to the character of Spider-Man, and this film captures it perfectly. Now, next is the action scenes, and they're fantastic. One in particular that involves the entire task force led by Miguel to take down Miles was incredible. We got to see Miguel and Miles and their abilities on full display, and I loved it, which is going to segue into my next point. The way that they portrayed all the different versions of Spider-Man from different universes was so well done and the correct way to do it. The choice to keep them in their own art style or as live action characters was, to me, the only way to do it. Especially little things like keeping Donald Glover as the MCU version of Uncle Aaron, aka the Prowler. That was a nice touch. I love that. Lego Spider-Man and his world being made out of Legos was hilarious too. India Spider-Man and his world was cool as well. And one of my personal favorites was bringing in Ben Reilly, aka the Scarlet Spider, with his jean jacket vest and his brooding nature. It was freaking hilarious. And I think Andy Samberg played that guy, and he was freaking awesome. So freaking funny. While all the while being tasteful and respectful to the characters. And that's all I want from anybody that's adapting comic book characters. You could put comedy in there. Just be respectful and tasteful with it. But moving on to the negatives. As far as the negatives go, I don't really have very many, guys. The first one is one that I have been harping on for a while now. And you know it. All of y'all know it. Yep, the runtime. 2.5 hours is way too long for most movies. I do feel that there was a few minutes here and there that could have been cut out to bring this down to 2 hours. But I will say I never felt the runtime, but I do think it still could have been trimmed down and it wouldn't be detrimental to the story. There was some stuff that could have been cut out. Would it have really changed much? Not really. So that's why I say it's a very minor gripe. And the only other negative I have is not necessarily the actual film's fault, to my knowledge, and that's the dialogue volume in certain spots almost completely bottoms out, and the movie soundtrack overwhelms it. Now, I didn't think too much about it until I started to see other people online saying that it happened to them too. That is an issue that the studio or the theaters need to fix ASAP or in the future. But yeah, guys, Across the Spider-Verse gives us everything from the previous film and more, with great performances from returning and new voice actors, improved artwork while keeping the same style, a phenomenal score and soundtrack, and fantastic writing. While the MCU's take on the multiverse has been okay, Spider-Verse just gets it and is simplified for all audiences. And to me, it's the best Marvel film we've gotten this year so far. That's why I'm giving it a 4.75 out of 5. and it is grizzly grade guaranteed. Please, please go see this movie. If you're not a fan of animation, get over it and go see it. These Spider-Verse movies are the best Spider-Man movies that we've gotten since the Raimi trilogy. So, if you have a problem with animation and you don't want to go see cartoons, I hate it for you, man. You need to stop letting animation hold you back. It's some of the best storytelling about these characters that you are going to see on the big screen. So get over it and go see it. And with that, we bring another episode to an end. Thank you all so much for your continued support. Without y'all, the show isn't possible. If you like this episode, please consider subscribing to the show wherever you listen to podcasts. And don't forget to click the links in the description below to follow me on all social media platforms. Sorry once again for the delay on getting this episode out. This episode was once again supposed to either come out on Monday or Wednesday. And here it is Friday, a week removed from the movie's release, and I'm getting this out to you. So I apologize, guys. Again, got a very demanding day job, so you got to bear with me sometimes, and I do appreciate y'all bearing with me. This month is, like I said before, is going to be super busy, and we've got a lot to cover, and I don't know if we're going to get to all of it because there is just so much. So many movies are coming out in the month of June and July, and I'm going to try to cover most of them, but it might not happen. I have seen The Boogeyman. I would love to do a review on it. It's not much to talk about, but I did enjoy it. But don't know if there's enough for a whole episode on that one. Know they got Transformers Rise of the Beast coming out this weekend, and you got several coming out over the next couple of weeks, including the highly anticipated Flash movie. So, trying to bear with me as much as you can. I'm also going to try to get another Grizzly guide out there on the Flashpoint storyline. Really want to get that out to you guys. It's one of my favorite storylines ever, and I want to share that with y'all. But again, I'm going to try to do my best to cover all this stuff for you. And if not, we'll figure it out. But again, thank you all for your patience on me getting this stuff out. Don't forget to go check out Carl Casey at White Bat Audio. He's the guy that does the music for the intros and outro tracks, and also the movie, the music throughout the entire episode. Guys, phenomenal. Great, great, great artist. Please go listen to his stuff on Spotify, YouTube, and Apple Music. But until next time, remember, I'm Joe Grizzly, bitch.